Well, I am so excited because our speaker tonight is a young man who has grown up in this church, and he has grown in God, and I'm so excited to have him come up right now. He currently works at Trollbites. Trollbites is a computer place out in Mount Horeb, and they just opened a new place in Madison on the east side. And so Sam has taken control of managing the location in Mount Horeb, and we're going to ask Sam to come up here and bring us the word of the Lord. And I also wanted to add a little addendum that he's single.
Just to confirm, yes, I am sick. I am single. All right, so this is my first time doing this, so please work with me. I'm probably going to stumble over a word and might forget a line, even though my script's right in front of me. So, well, I got to ask, how's everyone doing today? Wow, that was awesome. Normally when I'm in Kids Rageous, when I'm doing this, I always get a very small reply out of the kids, so I normally have to ask again, and that's when they get the hint, but you guys were awesome right away. Wow. Well, you know, I gotta tell you, when I heard what the theme was this year, Hearts on Fire, and I gotta say, that's a very big heart on fire there. That's really cool. But, I mean, the first thing that went through my mind was Third Day's song, Soul on Fire. Like, you know the song, like, it's a great song. I mean, it's one of my favorites, really. But that got me thinking, is my soul on fire? Is my heart on fire? Or is it on fire at all? I mean, is it like a superheated concentrated flame that can weld metal together? I mean, like this guy? I mean, this is a hot fire. This is a really, really hot fire. You want to be careful around this. Or is your fire like a flickering pinprick of candlelight here that's just about to go out? You know, how a lighter like this works is that it combines a striking action with opening of the valve to release gas. The spark ignites the flammable gas, causing a flame to come out of the lighter until either the top is closed or the valve is released, depending on what kind of lighter that you have. But really, it doesn't matter what kind of lighter it is. They all need one thing to start this flame, and that's a spark. I mean, you can have all the gas, you can have all the hot air in the world, but unless you have that, if you don't have that spark, you can't start anything. You know, when I was younger, when I was growing up, I didn't have a passion for God at all. I didn't know what I believed in because I lived in two houses growing up. I lived with my mother for 1 week, and then I lived with my father for another week. And this had a very, very big effect on me as a kid. I mean, because when I was at Dad's house, I mean, I was a very godly kid. I mean, because the fumes of the of Christian living and the Holy Ghost fueled our house. But at my mom's house, I wasn't godly. I mean, you couldn't even call me remotely Christian. I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest. I mean, I said things, I played things, and I watched things that, looking back, I really, really, really wish that I didn't. The point of this being, I didn't know what I wanted. I mean, just all these things that the big, shiny, bright things this world has to offer us. I mean, was I going to accept the ways of this world? Or was I going to accept God in my heart completely so that he can fan that flame, get that fire burning? But you're probably asking, how do I get my heart on fire? Well, there isn't just one answer for everyone. I mean, I can't just simply say, you need to do this, or you need to do that, and that will start the fire in your heart. I wish it was that simple, but it's not. But if you keep searching, you will find it. Reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, from the New English Version, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What that means? For those of you who are not entirely sure what this means you keep coming to church, you keep reading your Bible, you keep seeking the answers. Because eventually, it may take a long time, but eventually God will lead you to that time where you can say, I have no more doubt in my heart whatsoever. And Lord, I'm going to run to you like I've never ran before in my life. For me, what my story is that how my heart was set on fire, it was a trip to the Creation Museum in Kentucky. How many of you know about the Creation Museum down there? Cool. How many of you have actually been there? That's still a good lot of hands. That's awesome. I mean, that place is absolutely incredible. Because as soon as Dad and Jess told me about that trip, I was excited. I was really, really looking forward to this. Since growing up, I was challenged so much in my faith. Since I was asked really, really difficult questions that a kid my age growing up, I had no idea how to answer, and I didn't know how to look for these answers. I was really excited this because I thought that my questions would finally be answered because growing up, I went on a lot of field trips, and a lot of those field trips were museums. And I'd never been to a museum before. That sole focus was teaching about biblical creationism. See, I told you I screw up a line. From biblical creationism from a scientific point of view. And when we saw what was offered there, what was being taught there, my mind was blown. Pow. I was stunned. I was stunned in how in far depth their research goes and how science actually supports the Word of God. Any doubts I had about the Bible and God being real, well, they were thrown out by the museum security. And he says God allowed that trip to show me things I never really seen before. Just all those questions, everything is just, wow. Let me tell you, what really sealed the deal was the trip to the planetarium that they had. It's just, my mind was blown before, as I so cleverly demonstrated. But just what they showed there, just the creation, the vastness of the cosmos, and all the stuff that God has created and all that He's done, is wow. I was moved to tears. My parents told me themselves. There was a look on my face. I just changed in there. It was. Wow. I'm sorry. I wish I could describe it more, but the only way you can really describe it is that you need to go see it for yourself. It's just that kind of experience. It's just, He just finally showed me the truth in His Word. Let me tell you, people, it all starts with God. He is the source. He is the fuel that keeps these kinds of fires burning. It's up to us to protect that fire because we can allow things to contaminate our fuel source, which causes our fire to die out. Let me tell you, it is my prayer to all of you that you keep your fires burning, that they stay burning bright, and for those who haven't started their fires yet, I pray that God will start your fire soon and that they may burn bright for all to see. I pray that God will lead you to that place where your fires would ignite and that you continue seeking God's word and find the answers needed to keep your hearts burning bright.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord God, it's our heart's desire that you would fill us up, Lord God, here tonight. God, we come here. Some of us come here empty, Lord. Our tanks are empty, Lord God. And we don't have any way of paying for it, but God, you already did. Hallelujah, Jesus. Fill us up, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts here tonight. God, I pray that there's someone here, Lord God, looking for the courage to come up to this altar later. I pray, God, that you would give them that courage in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited to be here. We're continuing our Hearts on Fire series. Some of you guys don't know me. I didn't introduce myself, but a lot of times people come here on Sunday morning. I don't even get to see some of you because you come on Sunday morning. So I'm Brother Rick Solberg, Sunday school pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. Some of you know me as the guy that walks like a duck and his tie is never straight. It's kind of a pain when you go in the grocery store and you're pushing the shopping cart and your feet are hitting. Praise God. Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sam wanted me to let you know his great appreciation for Jessica Rivest, who helped him put that together. And so he wanted to give you props, Jess. Praise God. And I just want to let you know, before we get started, that I was over there worshiping. And I know Pastor Roy has been talking to us about unity. We need to unify. And I believe that God wanted me to share that there is a spirit of healing in this place. Someone here is hurting. God is here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Tonight, the title of my message is called Fireproof. Please stand for the reading of Word if you're not already. We're going to continue our scriptures from the series, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. But His Word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. In Hebrews 12, 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. The prophet Elijah went before the prophets of Baal. And God, the Bible says that God came down and took Elijah's sacrifice. Every flame licked up every bit of that sacrifice. God can consume your problem here tonight. Praise God. In Job 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Turn and greet someone in the wonderful name of Jesus, and you may be seated. I also want to give a brief shout out to Ember Lomax. She's hiding over there. You can't hide those teeth. She's got that 5 mile wide smile. I love it. She's got some friends with her, and we're so glad to see you guys here today. Ember actually helped me paint these awesome silhouettes that we made for you guys here tonight, too. So thank you, Sister Ember. Praise God. Well, we kind of talked this morning about a man named Samson, and we talked about Samson's strengths and Samson's weaknesses. And tonight, we're following along again with our theme of the Mushy Gushy Heart series. I'm sorry, guys. I know you don't like it, but
Yeah, we're going to continue to move into that heart talk. So bear with me. Bear with me. Tonight, once again, we're going to jump into our Bible time machine. If you could imagine going back into time to a time of turmoil for the children of Israel, we're going back to the book of Daniel, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. It was the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon declared war against Jerusalem and besieged the city. Everyone say the bad guys. That's King Nebuchadnezzar. Just kind of break it down for you. And the king of the tribe of Judah. The Judah represents God's people. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel grew and were blessed so abundantly that they were divided into 12 groups called tribes. You had the tribe of Reuben, you had the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Judah, you had the tribe of Dan, you had the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun, Joseph, and the tribe of Benjamin. Here we're talking once again about the tribe of Judah. And once again, the tribe of Judah is in a place where their flame, like Brother Sam was talking about, was dying out. They let the fuel start to die out. Their passion was dying out. And here you have the tribe of Judah, which translates to mean praise, who was defeated in battle by the Babylonian army due to the condition of their hearts. I find it interesting that Babylon is associated with sin or confusion in the Bible, and Judah means praise. So if I may, the children of Israel, let their praise grow weak, and sin moved right on in. Church, we need to keep praising God. We need to bring God out of this church. We need to take him in the city. We need to take him in our homes. We need to take him in our workplaces. Everywhere that we go, we need to surround ourselves with Jesus, because we are living in a world that is dark and wants to pull you away. They want to cut off your fuel supply. Jesus, the master of the Babylonian army, handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to Nebuchadnezzar, along with some of the furnishings from the temple of God. Nebuchadnezzar took the king and the furnishings to the country of Babylon. And he put the furnishings, the Bible says, in the sacred treasury. In the sacred treasury. Young people, we had a drama a while back that talked about hell's trophies. You see, hell would love to get you in a place of defeat, hopelessness, discourage, and defeat again. But the devil would love to be able to slip you up on his little shelf of trophies. But I'm so glad that God is raising up a generation of worshipers who are going to throw up their hands and say, "Nuh-uh, devil. Not me, I'm spoken for. I'm blood-bought. I'm on fire for God." Hallelujah. The king told Ashpenaz, head of the palace staff, to get some Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men who were healthy, handsome, strong, intelligent, and well-educated. Good prospects for leadership positions in the government. Perfect specimens. And he wanted to indoctrinate them in the Babylonian language. And he wanted to teach them about their magic and their fortune telling. The king then ordered that they be served from the same menu as the royal table. The world wants to feed you their stuff. The best food,
the finest wine. And after 3 years of training, they would be given positions in the king's court. Young people, we live in a world that is not our home. A world that would love to indoctrinate you in their ways. Evolution, atheism, acceptance of ungodly relationships. We need to always keep in mind that, yes, we may be in Babylon for a season, but we know who our King truly is. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that among the men that were chosen there, there were three men: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The head of the palace staff gave them Babylonian names. Hananiah was named Shadrach. Mishael was named Meshach. Come on, guys. And Azariah was named, there we go, or the VeggieTale version, Rack, Shack, and Benny. There we go. He then ordered King Nebuchadnezzar, the bad guy. Young people say the bad guy. He ordered for a statue to be built. A statue that was so big. The Bible says a statue that was 90 feet high and 9 feet thick. Or as big as his ego. He was then ordered. He ordered all the important leaders in the province, everyone who was anyone, to be at the dedication ceremony for his great statue that he built. If we're not careful, we will build things in our lives to replace God. We can't do that. It's so easy to do. A herald then proclaimed in a loud voice, "Attention! Attention! Everyone, every race, every color, and every creed, listen up. I can hear the trumpets blasting. When you hear the band strike up, all the trumpets and the trombones and the tubas and the baritones and the drums and the cymbals, you are to fall onto your knees and worship the golden statue that our great king Nebuchadnezzar has built. And anyone who does not do this shall be thrown into a blazing furnace." You see, the world is always standing there waiting to see just how committed that you are, young people. We are called to be a holy people, separate and apart from the world. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. God doesn't want you to have any room in your heart for those things, those statues, those things of the world. The head of the palace staff gave the Babylonian... So the band started to play, a huge band equipped with all the musical instruments of Babylon. I believe they played a beautiful, alluring song. The Bible tells us that the devil, Lucifer, is a fallen angel. Did you know that at one time, he had a job up in heaven? He was the choir director. So he knows how to play the music that sounds good, the things that sound good in our lives. Be careful, young people. Hallelujah. Just then, the Babylonian fortune tellers, as they were worshiping, stepped up and they looked over at Shadrach and they looked at Meshach and they looked at Abednego and they looked out at the crowd and they saw that everyone was down worshiping the statue. And they looked over at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down. And they said, this isn't right. Our king, the king of the world, has trained them. He's invested in them. He has fed them. How dare they not bend down and worship the idol that he has built? So they approached King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, oh, great and mighty king, live forever. They said, king, you have made this wonderful statue. And King Nebuchadnezzar, I can see him going, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great, isn't it? They said, yes, king, it's great. But king, we want to tell you that there's some guys over there refusing to bow down to your statue. And I can just see the king going, what? His face starts to get red. He starts to get flustered. The emotion starts to build. But he's a compassionate king because he took them. He could have killed the children of Israel, the children of Judah. He could have killed them. But instead, he trained them and he put them in his staff. He fed them. He's a man of compassion. So you know what? He said to himself, you know, I'm going to give them one more chance. Maybe they're something wrong. Maybe they didn't understand, you know, because they're from the tribe of Judah. So he had them brought up and he looked at them and he said, listen, I want you to worship this statue. You see, when the music starts up, I'm going to make this real simple for you. When you hear that music start, I want you to fall down just like all these other people out here and worship this great statue that I made. Do you realize that this statue is made from 24-karat gold? It's 9 feet thick, 90 feet tall, and it's made in my image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at that king, and they said, O king, we see the great statue that you have made, but you see, we serve a God, one God who is bigger than any statue that you could ever make. And we are not going to compromise. We are not going to bow down. So you can throw us in the furnace if you want to. So the king got angry. His face turned purple. And he ordered the guards to come and tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he ordered the furnace to be turned up. He wanted the furnace so hot that it was hotter than it has ever been before. He was so angry, he wanted to see them disintegrated just like that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were brought up to the furnace, I'm sure that there was some fear in their hearts. It's not always easy living for God. When you have the world breathing down your back, saying, why do you wear skirts? Why do you have long hair? Why do you dress different than other people? Why don't you swear? Why don't you drink this drink that we drink or whatever it is the world has that to offer? Why don't you just bow down? It's just so easy. Bow down. I'm sure they're thinking, you bunch of dummies, bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said no. Because there's a Sunday school teacher when I was little who told me a story about God and how great he is and how he delivered the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. And they heard all the Bible stories when they were little and they grew up. And they learned to develop that relationship with God. And they knew that they didn't want to hurt God. by bowing down to that thing. So the fiery furnace was built hotter and hotter, 7 times hotter than normal. Fireproof. Thank you, Jesus. If our musicians could come. The Bible goes on to tell us how they took Shadrach, and they took Meshach, and they took Abednego, and they ordered big, strong guards, the strongest of all the guards, to come and take them and throw them in the furnace. And it goes on to tell us how that when they did, they threw them in, but the fire was so hot. The fire was so hot that it killed those guards. You see, I believe that when we're full of God, when we're full of God, we are the keepers, so to speak, of the fire. See, our God has no limitations. There's a reason that the Philistines, when they touched the ark, the Bible says that they died. If anyone who was unholy, only the priest could carry the ark back in the Bible. There's a reason for that, because we are God's people. We are God's people. Hallelujah. There are things and places that God can bring us that the world cannot go. They can try to go, but they can't go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If we could all stand. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to tell us that Nebuchadnezzar, he looked over at that furnace, and he was proud of himself. He said, "That'll teach them. Nobody else will stand up against me." But when he looked over, he looked in that furnace, and he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he wondered in amazement, "But I saw the guards fall of the fire." The guards couldn't take the fire, but they're in the furnace. And they're not being burned. And the Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar called out and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come on out here. Come on out here." I find it interesting that his tune changed when he's calling them God's servants after he sees that they've walked through the fire. When we walk through the fire of our trials in our life, when we come out unsinged, unburned, untouched, when they go up to us and they smell us and they say, "But I don't even smell the smoke on them. How come they don't stink like we do?" Because we're God's people. We're chosen. We're separate and apart. No matter what the situation is in your life, God can deliver you. Don't compromise, young people. Don't compromise. God has many blessings for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If our altar workers could come at this time. Praise God. Did you know that when a goldsmith is making gold, that there's different qualities of gold? There's different ways in which you measure the gold and how the gold is valuable. or not. And there is a process when they make the gold. There's a timing involved. And did you know that the most purest of the gold is clear? It becomes more transparent the clearer it is. But see, for gold to get that clear and to get that transparent, it has to go through the fire. Sometimes in our lives, God allows us to go through situations, things in our lives that we don't understand. And we may sit there and say, God, this heat is so great. God, this fire is so great. I don't understand why you have me here. But the whole time, there's a city, a world that we live in that people are watching. They're watching your testimony. God is using you. God is using you to influence. Hallelujah. The Babylonian people, after they saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the fire, out of the trial, out of the situation that they were in, the Bible says that the King Nebuchadnezzar had seen the testimony. He saw the thing that they went through, and he knew the power of our God. And he said, what have I done? What have I made? What have I created here? His mind was he saw the light. It was at that moment that he issued another decree that everyone worship the true God. Hallelujah. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Your testimony has power, young people. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This altar's open. If somebody wants to come up here and they want to pray and they want to seek God, maybe you're here today and you've never received the Spirit of God and you're living in the fire, but you don't know what to do. You're getting burned left and right in the world that you live in. God can make you fireproof here today. God can wash you in the waters of baptism. Right behind this wall, we have a baptism tank. You can go down in the name of Jesus, and your sins can be washed away forever. You can come to this altar of repentance. You can repent for your sins, and you can lay it all down before the King, the true King. You can receive His Spirit here today. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you just lay it down. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.